What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Trigger. This is Trigger's number 506 here on Wednesday, March 13th. A lot's happened over the last week. We've had
Mucho.
Super Tuesday. Oh, we did Super Tuesday last week. Never mind. It's really a blur what's happened.
Well, there was Super Tuesday too yesterday.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
In which,
I mean, you really shouldn't call back. It was really only like seven states.
It's like four states.
Yeah. But they called it Super Tuesday too.
Trump and Biden both clinching their nominations mathematically last night.
Yeah.
It is a 2020 rematch, and we're ready to roll.
I was actually very happy about that, because for Trump to get over the top, he needed to like obviously win Washington, which is a mail-in ballot-only state, which takes forever. Look at, dude, California hasn't reached 90% in.
That's crazy.
And it's been like over a week. Yeah, so I was like really happy. Yeah, I was really happy by, obviously with Haley dropping out, you could say it, but we need it officially, and I was so happy that like around 11 o'clock Eastern time, they were like, he got it. Like, thank God.
We got a lot coming together here. Yeah. We have Trump is now the official nominee.
Yeah.
The field has been cleared.
Yep.
We have the RNC that Rana's gone. We got new leadership over there.
Yeah, it was like the Red Wedding over there. Everybody got fired.
Over 60 RNC staffers, including all of the old leadership, which is great news. Now we hope that the new leadership comes in and does a bang-up job, raises a bunch of money.
This is the regime change I support.
We need a lot of money, and the Democrats are going to spend. They're going to spend over $2 billion on this election.
Yeah.
They're not only going to just spend it on regular things, but they will spend it to cheat the election, as they have many times before.
They got their hatchet men, but as do we.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need to. We need to be sure this time that we know what's coming, and we need to, you know,
get going.
Not encouraging federal election crimes, you know.
I'll just say this. We need to get things moving, as Tony Soprano would say. Yeah. Get things moving.
Yeah. I mean, waste management.
Yeah.
I need that W-2.
We had the State of the Union last Thursday night, which we're going to cover more in depth in a minute. It was really wild. We had the special counsel, Robert Hur, testify before Congress yesterday regarding his report on Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents, which not only showed that he willfully mishandled the classified documents, but shows the absolute senile state that our president is in. Through recounting the deposition and many of the other things being said. So we got some clips for that. And let's start with last night's primaries. Like you said, the numbers have been crossed, right?
Yeah.
Joe Biden got enough as well. Do you think now that this is, you know, full-blown general election, you think that their strategies are going to change at all? Because, I mean, realistically, for the past 2 months,
they've treated it like a general election.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think right now, it's a base turnout election. We all know that. You know, both these guys are unpopular. So, like, when you see, like, you know, well, Trump's approval rate, favorability is terrible. Well, so is Biden. You know, they're not so far apart. So this is going to be a base election. The people who are rabidly pro-Biden and rabidly pro-Trump, it's about maximizing that turnout, and they got months to do it. We're fine. The Democrats have some serious problems with young voters, blacks, Hispanics, Latinos, labor union families. Last time I checked, I think Trump's getting 41% of labor union household support, which is pretty damn good for a Republican. The Teamsters gave a donation to the RNC, I believe, a couple weeks ago.
So that's actually a perfect segue to the point that I wanted to make, which is, you know, it's obviously a media and liberal media talking point that Trump's approval rating or unfavorability is sky high. Well, Biden's is worse.
Yeah, it's actually
If you actually look at the trends, Trump's has been trending down, and I think part of the rehabilitation of, you know, I don't want to just say his image, but kind of people's overall views of him are really rooted in the fact of who he's being compared to.
Yeah.
In Biden, Biden's just so much worse.
Yeah.
He's so much, you know, older, he's crusty, and not only that, he's just absolutely f***ing the country.
Yeah, he is.
Like, you know, every single day, people go to the store, and they're shelling out more and more cash. While we're being told by Joe Biden that inflation's fine.
Yeah.
Well, inflation's down.
Yeah. Well, the latest inflation report showed that it's still hot.
It's up.
Hot. Yeah. Hot like the sun.
Yeah. You know, they say, oh, well, it went from 9.1% to 3.4%. Like, okay, But that's 3.4 monthly.
Yeah.
Right? You know, on an annualized basis.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at the cumulative inflation since Joe Biden took office, most stuff now is between 25 to 40% higher than it was when he took office.
Yeah, going to Five Guys is now like, you know,
a luxury meal.
A luxury item now.
Mom posted, and I think you might have written about this.
I'm going to write about it.
She got, I think, two burgers, two fries, two soft drinks, and like a milkshake, and it was like $70.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
At McDonald's, the Big Mac meal is $18.75 in some places.
A large fry is $5 now. People are sick of what's going on. They're sick of the border. They're sick of the crime. They're sick of the inflation. They're sick of the global threats of World War III. They're just sick of it. And I think that's really helping Trump right now. And remember, we always said, you know, years and years ago, right after the 2020 election, we said if Trump were to have a comeback, it would be because he has the greatest I told you so in political history.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what has happened.
Yep.
That's exactly what's happened.
And they're doubling down on abortion and green energy stuff. Like, that's not, it's proven it. Like, Latino voters don't care about that. It doesn't resonate with them. It's not really resonating with Asian American voters, who, by the way, low key story, but they wiped out the progressives in the San Francisco City Council races.
Really?
Or the Board of Supervisors races, they're worried about crime. You know, granted, that stuff resonates with, you know, the Chardonnay sipping suburbanite white women. But it's not really, you know, a resonating message. I mean, what's another thing? It's even young voters, they don't care about the student loan bailouts. They're more pissed off about what's going on in Gaza. So that's what James Clyburn found out in South Carolina. Even though South Carolina, of course, went for Biden, there's a lot of young voters who are pissed off about that.
Yeah.
And Clyburn seemed indignant that he's like, why aren't these people so excited about voting this year? Well, it's because your party sucks. It's been sucking. Yeah. All the core constituencies of the Obama coalition are drifting away from Joe Biden at a point where, like I said, it's going to be a base election. That's not too good. So,
for sure.
And now, there's a lot of time to turn that around. And if there was, if the candidate was anybody but Biden, I think that the Democrats have a shot of turning it around, man. They have a lot of time to do this. But, again, you have old, crusty, dementia-ridden man who can't remember when his son died. And
I'll tell you what.
You know how many needles you got to thread to get all these people back together without pissing one off?
The State of the Union on Thursday night, I think, cemented him as the nominee.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats were so busy just, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Blanking themselves off.
Oh, yeah.
like you fill in the word there.
Yeah, they're like Randy watching the internet.
Well, you know what it was? It was there was a spooky ghost, okay?
Spooky ghost. It was a what ghost?
Or what I prefer is the South Park Cable Guy episode. Where the cable guy will flip open his shirt and start rubbing his nipples as the customer service complaints pile up. But really, if you look at what was said about that speech.
Well, everybody else who wasn't like a hardcore like communist was like, this guy's nuts.
Well, yeah. You know, if you look at the liberal media of what they said about the speech, one, they all said the same exact thing because the talking points were clearly sent out that the White House wanted it to be a fiery speech.
Vivacious.
Yes. Fiery was the key word used across every single headline in every single liberal media paper. But if you look at the opinions of actual voters, it's very bad for him. Frank Luntz, you know, everyone, you know, think what you will of Frank Luntz, but he did run a focus group of undecided voters, which was made up of not only Democrats, but Republicans and independents. Not a single person, or maybe one, in the 30-person focus group said that it was not only a good speech or that it restored confidence in him.
Yeah.
And Frank Luntz was like, if this is an indicator of what, you know, the rest of the population thinks, Joe Biden will not be president this time next year.
I mean, it was a campaign rally. I mean, it kind of devolved into, like, you know, the Democratic National Convention in there. And, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going way back. Like, in 2002, when Senator Paul Wellstone died, and I think it was Wisconsin, his funeral kind of turned into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, criticized for being very unseemly. You can say the same thing about the State of the Union address. Besides yeah. being unhinged. Yeah. Like,
well, he was just yelling the whole time. Yeah. He was yelling the entire speech.
Yeah.
Clearly, they dosed him up super hard with a ton of drugs.
I think it was probably cocaine.
No, they wouldn't. The burst from cocaine would not last that long. It needed to be several pharmaceutical grade right there. And it was very obvious because if you look at him on Thursday night, and then look at him in Pennsylvania the next day.
Oh, he's half dead.
It's totally different person.
Yeah. Well, he was probably gassed, too. From
totally different person.
Coming down.
A few things from the State of the Union that I wanted to hit on here. You know what came up first in the entire speech?
January 6th.
No. Wrong.
Ooh.
Did you even watch it?
Oh, yeah, I watched parts of it.
January 6th. No, not January 6th. You saying that got me so thrown off. How do you not? We talked about this. Ukraine. Ukraine first.
Yeah, Ukraine. Yeah.
Ukraine came up first in the speech. He is the Ukraine first president. Chairman. Yeah, you just planted that in my mind. Like, what the fuck? All right. This, so, but the two other things, we're going to get a clip here for you. But first wanted to talk about the heckler. Who is a Gold Star father. Of Karim Nakui, who was killed in the suicide bombing at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan because of Joe Biden's actions. Well, he shouted during Joe Biden's speech, right?
Yeah.
And then you can see the video at townhall.com if you haven't seen it, but I'm sure you have by now. It's a while ago. He was then arrested.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, we have some great patriots still left in Congress, like Congressman Brian Mast, who went above and beyond and got him released and the charges dropped.
Yeah.
Because this guy, his son, gave the ultimate sacrifice for the country. He certainly has the right to shout at this sorry excuse for a president if he wants to.
Well, because he said our troops have never been safer or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And it was total crap.
And so that was ridiculous. But the most ridiculous moment, and really the biggest story out of kind of the whole State of the Union here, was when Joe Biden got bullied by Marjorie Taylor Greene into talking about the murder of Lincoln Riley in Georgia.
You mean Lincoln Riley, the football coach for USC Trojans?
Well, yeah, he managed to get her name wrong.
Yeah, it was just...
Take a listen to what he had to say.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal.
Yeah, so he f***ed up the name. Yeah. Right. Then, the worst part of this entire story. He goes on to MSNBC the next day and apologizes.
Oh, for saying the word illegal. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if you haven't heard yet, take a listen.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal. When talking about the man who allegedly killed Lincoln Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look.
It's so sickening what this president finds to be important. And his priorities are so f***ed up. Just, 15 years ago, Joe Biden's on tape saying that not only should all illegals be deported completely, but that we need less immigration in general. And all immigrants should learn English.
Yeah.
That's what he said 2 years before he ran as Obama's vice president.
Sanctuary city policies turn these places into holes.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say that, but he literally said that.
Now, he's apologizing to illegals.
Yeah.
Who are murderers. Murdered an American citizen. It really is shocking how low actual Americans rank on the list of not just Joe Biden, but Democrats in general. And this is only going to be a problem that continues to get worse because now we have FBI Director Christopher Wray issuing a warning about the, quote, very dangerous threats the FBI is seeing from the border.
Ah.
Take a listen.
Wonderful.
From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border, and that includes everything from the drug trafficking. The FBI alone seized enough fentanyl in the last 2 years to kill 270 million people. That's just on the fentanyl side. An awful lot of the violent crime in the United States is at the hands of gangs who are themselves involved in the distribution of that fentanyl.
That's good. I was told that the border is safe and secure by Korean ground.
Oh, yeah.
Grape Poupon.
They said that in 2022 when Jose Ibarra, who murdered Lake and Riley, crossed the border. Oh, yep. Crossed the United States. Yep. So, go figure.
And then Marco Rubio was asking about the illegal gang members assaulting NYPD officers, the illegals. Here's what he had to say.
For example, the assault on the police officers in New York, all the reporting said they had ties to this gang in particular. But there's no doubt that people that were criminals in their country of origin have crossed that border and are now in the U.S. committing crimes.
Correct.
There's no doubt that people that were criminals in their country of origin have crossed the border and are now in the U.S. committing crimes. That follows exactly what we've been saying for years and what Trump said for a long time, that these whole countries are emptying their jails and sending them north.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yep.
Now, another issue that we're worried about. Haiti, which I was promised was not a whole country.
Oh, it was the gem of the Caribbean.
Remember that one?
Yeah, it's you know, go. It's beautiful.
Well, turns out it's a and not only that, it's now a hole being run by a warlord,
Barbecue.
Whose name is ironically Barbecue, and they're eating cannibals, or the cannibals are eating in the streets.
Yeah, they are.
They're cutting people up and cooking the body parts in the streets of Port-au-Prince. There's bodies all over the place, and that's not even a mad exaggerated statement.
Yeah, no, there are.
You've seen the pictures.
Yeah, there's bodies because no one can safely like pick them up. It smells like death.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, not that Haiti didn't, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Just, it reminds me of the Family Guy thing, like when Godzilla attacked Haiti.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And so now we're sending Marines to Haiti.
Well, is it to protect the embassy?
The embassy is being shut down.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully that's the extent of it, because this is
We'll see. I heard that it could be because we want to keep them there.
Oh.
We want to keep the Haitians there because now they're expecting that they're going to all try to get on a bunch of rafts.
Oh, they're going
to try to make it to the United States.
Yeah, they're going to sink.
I tell you what, if they try to make it to Florida, not happening. Ron DeSantis will shoot them out of the water himself.
Like Omaha Beach.
But yeah, during a hearing yesterday, or maybe Matt Gaetz sent a letter asking, you know, what are we doing here? And the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Homeland Security and Hemispheric Affairs, whatever the
what is that?
Rebecca Zimmerman, probably some like purple-haired libtard, acknowledged that a quote mass migration event is anticipated. It's good. Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, because it's not like, you know, a Mexican surge. Like, this is like, there's water and we got. Stopping this is a part just to save their lives, because they're gonna sink as soon as they get like a mile out.
Sure.
I mean, you've seen that. Like,
I don't care.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, there's like tires and stuff like that. Like, it's just not a good look.
Sure.
When we're, it's in our own backyard.
Put a couple Navy ships there. Keep the criminals out. But yeah, they released all the criminals from jail.
The gangs have done that. Yeah, yeah.
And so
the prime minister resigned.
Well, yeah, you didn't want to get killed.
Well, because Barbecue was like,
I'm going to eat you.
I'm going to eat you.
That's what he said.
I will unleash total war.
He's a cannibal. Barbecue is a cannibal. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what they do down there. It's all voodoo
and
all
kinds of the serpent and the rainbow.
And the Dominicans are like, whoa, this is not good.
Yeah.
And they are rushing to complete their border wall, and they are sending the military to that border to try to prevent crossings into their country, because they don't want them either.
Yeah.
I
don't know how they're going to do that. There's a lot of jungle in the interior of that
island.
A lot of terrain to cover.
All right, what else we got here? Let's talk about the special counsel testimony yesterday.
Okay, sure.
You've been following that.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, we got quite a few clips here for you, because there's a lot of moments from this that are just like, the special counsel, you know, was, say, Bob Mueller, and said these kinds of things about President Trump, it would be wall-to-wall coverage for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But because this special counsel investigated Joe Biden,
there's nothing.
Barely a footnote.
Yeah.
The only place it's being covered is essentially conservative media. I think CBS Evening News covered it for 22 seconds last night.
Well, because Robert Hur slapped down all the bull.
Yep.
Like Neo.
But first off, as we're going through this, tell me how there are no charges being brought. It is absurd.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Take a listen to what Hur had to say about Biden essentially doing what the statute says for the crime.
Yep.
Roll that clip.
My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen.
Willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency. Okay, so the same thing that Trump is being prosecuted for. You know, you could argue the semantics about it, but that's essentially what's going on here. Then, Special Counsel Robert Hur confirmed that as a private citizen, former Vice President Joe Biden shared classified information with his ghostwriter.
Yes.
In fact, there are recordings of Biden doing just that, and the ghostwriter didn't have a security clearance, something that Joe Biden said very clearly, specifically, that he did not do.
Yeah.
Just totally lying.
Well, he's on tape saying it's in the basement.
Yeah, well, take a listen to what the clip of this.
This evidence included an audio recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia. We also identified other recorded conversations during which Mr. Biden read classified information aloud to his ghostwriter.
We also then learned that this ghostwriter deleted the recordings when he found out that a special counsel was going to be investigating.
Pretty sure that's obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm. But roll that clip.
Page 200. Joe Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Hur, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly Mr. Biden, what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
Remember, Biden said specifically he did not do this.
Yeah.
Roll that clip.
I did not share classified information. I did not share it.
With your ghostwriter.
With my ghostwriter. I did not. Guarantee you did not. They did not.
That's interesting. Then we get to the point of the memory issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember they said that Hur was doing nothing but smearing the president, and the president's at the top of his game. And
he's a Republican.
He remembers everything. Hack. The president remembers everything down to the exact moment of everything in his life. Well, turns out it was actually Biden himself who made it an issue during his deposition, or sit-down, or interview, or whatever you want to call it. Roll that clip.
There has been a lot of attention paid to language in the report about the president's memory, so let me say a few words about that. My task was to determine whether the president retained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are the types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement. Quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair.
Hur also made clear that even though pressured to do so by the White House which was made very clear. He did not sanitize his report as they requested. Yeah. Roll that clip.
I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage the president unfairly. I explained to the attorney general my decision and the reasons for it. That's what I was required to do.
And then, you know, the Democrats, they like to put words in people's mouths, of course.
Well, like, they're trying to gaslight us.
Yeah.
You know?
Pramila Jayapal, notorious piece of on Capitol Hill, attempted to gaslight the American public by saying that, well, Special Counsel Hur, you exonerated the president. Take a listen.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Hur,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
That's not part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know
that
the term
I ultimately reached related to whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that the term willful
that
retention
report,
has a Mr. Hur, it's my time. Thank you.
She was none too pleased when you smacked her down like that.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, I think this might have been your story by the headline, I could just tell.
Yeah.
What happened to poo-poo Jerry Nadler?
Well, he asked the question, do you at any point believe that Biden lied to you during your investigation? And Hur just straight up said yes.
Roll that clip, Mr. Producer.
At any point in your investigation, did you have any reason to believe that President Biden lied to you?
I do address in my report one response the president gave to a question that we had posed to him that we deemed to be not credible.
Poo-poo Jerry. If he's not pooping his pants, he's stepping on rakes.
Yeah.
That should be your next headline, by the way. Poo-poo Jerry. If he's not stepping on it, if he's not pooping his pants, he's stepping on rakes. I'm actually going to test that.
But he, you know, Hur came off. It's like it goes back to the issue with the IRS whistleblowers when they try to discredit them. You can't. They're credible people. Mm-hmm. Robert Hur is a credible DOJ official who professionally ran this investigation. I think Republicans did a great job, you know, basically pointing out that if it were anybody else but Joe Biden, that this person would have been charged. And for Democrats, they got all their defensive pivots got blown apart by Hur, who said, no, I didn't exonerate him. He willfully retained information. He divulged it, and he has a memory problem. Mm-hmm. So suck it. He didn't say that, but you know what I mean. His opening statement was like, I said what I said. I'm going to stand by it. And if you have a problem with it, bring on the questions.
And, 100%. Yeah, and we just don't understand how
the
special counsel could lay everything out that he did and still not to decide not to charge Biden.
Well, he's a senile old man. He can't, you know.
Willfully retain classified info as a private citizen in unsecured locations. And it's just the same thing that Trump
is
accused of doing, even though Trump had just been president.
Yeah.
Okay?
This is years after.
This is a decade after with Biden. And not only that, it's left in his f-ing garage. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
At the time, which had you know, very minimal protection. Hunter had all of his crack whore Eastern European sluts coming through there. There could have easily been theft of these documents.
I mean,
it's outrageous. Meanwhile, Trump has the documents at Mar-a-Lago and Bedminster, both extremely secure locations under
Secret
Service.
Protected by the Secret Service, and handled by people with security clearances.
Yeah. So,
and all of this to basically stick it to Obama eventually in his book.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were all Afghan memos.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He thought he was right. He wanted to do the counterterrorism approach.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama went counterinsurgency, and he thought he was right. So I wanted to, you know, whatever. Again, it's the man's ego.
And guess what? Joe Biden's never been right in 40 years in the government.
He wanted to dither on the Bin Laden raid.
Yeah,
he didn't want to go into Pakistan. Remember that?
Yep, I know.
It was the lone voice. Oh, we shouldn't do that. Well, no.
I remember. You know what this is? It reminds me exactly of the Hillary investigation, where Jim Comey laid out every reason she should be indicted.
But didn't,
But we're not bringing any charges.
Yeah. I actually think it makes it worse because Hillary was cogent.
Yeah.
And she wasn't as old and decrepit. Like, Hillary should have been, right? If you're going to do that. Like, yeah. This whole thing of, well, he's an old, senile old man.
Yeah, that's true.
I honestly love how Democrats have more problems with that than him actually being charged over this.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would not be as so upset. Because they think of it as a political... And it is. It's a political problem because we have it on record that Biden is... His mind is being eaten by worms.
Yep. Well, but, guess what?
Yeah.
You know what the most important thing is? Mm-hmm. I've been told this many times in the last few weeks.
Oh.
Ukraine.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, he, like you said in the State of the Union, if, what was it, the line? If you think he's going to stop at Ukraine.
Oh, that's a good
that's
one.
That's the one. Yeah. Remember, if you think he's going to stop at Ukraine, basically you're not playing with a full deck.
That's just one like, of my favorite I'm like, ones.
That's kind of,
that's one of my favorite
the
lines.
Lack of self-awareness yeah. there, yeah. not playing with a full deck.
Well, guess what? Now we're drawing down an additional $300 million of our weapons to Ukraine, which will inevitably make us less safe. Great stuff that's going on
is
over
being,
there.
Is this a part of a package? It is,
well,
right?
No, it's just the White House.
Oh, just the White House unilaterally?
Just unilaterally doing it.
Okay, there have been so many Ukraine packages, I can't like keep up. Same thing with Bob Menendez's superseding indictments.
Yeah.
300 million. So we basically have no arms or ammunition, and if there's a major invasion, alert two,
we're
done.
Oh, 100%. We are in pretty dire
So
shape.
All we have is nuclear missiles. That's great. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's more to it than that.
Yeah,
but
no, I'm just...
Like, we are not equipped to fight a very serious war.
Oh, like
especially
when,
a world war.
Oh, like when, like,
when China invades Taiwan.
The Taiwan invasion
yeah.
season
yeah.
begins
yeah.
next month?
Well, it's close, and this is really their last shot, so I wouldn't be surprised if it happens now. I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet. It's been years we've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
It sounded like when Xi was here in, I think it was November... He essentially told Biden it's going to happen in this spring.
I mean, they've been saying that for years, too, though. Reunification is happening.
But there has been a lot more incursions or intrusions of Taiwanese airspace, balloons, you
Listen,
know.
Man, one thing about... I mean, Vietnam War is the same thing. They are patient. Mm-hmm. When there is a national consensus on something, a national goal, these people are very nationalistic...
Yeah.
They will wait generations. I mean, it started with the islands. Mm-hmm. They were building those islands when I was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, slowly.
In the South China Sea.
And we didn't do... I mean, of course, we've raised objections, but that didn't stop them.
No, they don't
now
care.
They have, you know, airfields on those things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you can't bomb them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's gonna,
well, it's only going to get worse.
Well, as you mentioned, it's going to chip market.
Yeah, that's the big problem. That's definitely the big problem.
I mean, like, what are we going to do here?
Yep.
There's no chips.
All right, what else we got here? We already talked about the
economy being
economy. Take a listen to CNBC talking about how inflation compares to the time period that President Trump was in office.
Now, if you look at two things that we normally don't talk about, but I bring it up now every month, if you look at the non-seasonally adjusted CPI index itself, which goes back to the beginning, or the seasonally adjusted core index, which goes back to the beginning, both those indexes today are at new all-time highs. They are almost every month. So your middle class looks at that, and the inflation compared to 2017, 2018, 2019 is significantly higher. The rate of change is what the Fed's looking at, and even the rate of change still, no matter how you slice it, does not look like 2%.
Well, yeah, you know,
that is one thing that the Trump team needs to home in on, because if there's one thing that voters all remember about the Trump years...
Mm-hmm.
It's the booming economy. Just, we're going to return to that. Sure, throwing some jabs about, you know, Joe Biden not being able to lift the beach chair, but talk about that booming economy.
Yeah.
And make Biden respond by shoveling out his bullshit numbers. Every single job creation report has been revised down.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Every single one.
Yep.
Bait him into releasing that so then we can say, well, actually, that's not true.
Well, as I said, and I've said this many times, they're cooking the books.
Yeah.
Not only are they cooking the books on the jobs, they're cooking the books on the inflation numbers. I mean, you can look at every single thing, and they are cooking the governmental books.
I mean, if you compare it from quarter to quarter, of course, mm-hmm. you can finagle things and look like it's better. But if you start from the beginning, which is how you should analyze these numbers, as you've said for many months.
Yeah.
I mean, 30%? Would you say that? That's pretty damn close?
It's
not outrageous to say that.
I am very concerned about the overall stability of our economy You know, what we've been doing here these past few years is every time it looks like it's about to really take a...
Yeah.
You know, something happens to kind of just string it along. We're just stringing it along and stringing it along. The underlying fundamentals of the economy are very weak, right? You look at employment, you look at wages, you know, you look at people's spending money that they have, their savings, the credit card debt, the defaults on credit card debts, on car loans, on mortgages, are all essentially at their worst numbers since the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the stock market is at an all-time high.
We got a bubble, right?
Worry about. But you also have these banks, these huge banks that are too big to fail now, that have, you know, trillions in unrealized losses on their books, right?
Yeah.
They get to stay there because of, you know, a lot of mechanisms. It's very, very ridiculously over-leveraged and complicated the way that the financial system works. But all this to say, basically, if commercial real estate continues to have the problems that it is now, and that accelerates later this year when a lot of these loans mature and then need to be essentially redone, right?
Yeah.
Those losses
are going to be astronomical.
Are going to be real.
Yeah. We're going to need a bailout.
They're going to be realized. Oh, 100%.
We're going to need TARP 2, basically.
Well, just look at what happened in New York Community Bank last week.
Oh.
They essentially became illiquid, which is what would happen to a lot of these banks, especially regional banks, too, have a lot of exposure on commercial real estate.
Oh, great.
And Steve Mnuchin arranged a group of investors to come in and save the bank.
Oh.
Because the federal government looked like they were not going to. They were just going to let it collapse.
Oh.
Now, I'm sure it was one of Steve's friends and, you know, how that all works. But now imagine that on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's essentially what's going to happen. Worth noting, remember the last bank crisis we had in the fall?
Yeah.
That program just expired.
Oh, jeez.
The program where they were essentially giving liquidity to the banks from the Fed. Now, that might have to come back again, but, you know, everything that I look at to kind of give me a feel for what's going on is flashing red lights.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's only a matter of time before we get to the point of major, major issues. People are racking up crazy, crazy debt, credit card debt, at 22 to 30% APR. They're defaulting on it. They have no savings. You know, the default rate just on residential mortgages alone has almost tripled
in
the
God.
Last 3 months.
So basically, that's okay.
So, I mean, you know, we're starting to see that hockey stick of, like, things are really starting to escalate.
Yeah.
And
that real estate thing has always been worried me.
Sure.
Ever since you told me about it, and I read that lengthy Forbes article about it. That's basically all these commercial holdings and stuff like that.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, listen, it's never a bad time to be prepared. Get yourself some gun, get yourself some ammo.
And buy some gold.
No gold, no financial advice. Yeah, gold's actually at an all-time high. So if anyone had previously...
For those who got in early, as I've been saying, you are so protected.
Not financial advice. Not financial advice. And the crypto, too. So,
too volatile.
No, but honestly, you were a big crypto. If people had listened to you and bought gold and crypto, they'd actually be doing pretty
well.
What
is it
now,
like a 53,000?
No, Bitcoin's at 72.
72? Look at that!
Yeah, it's an all-time high.
Yeah, so for all you Bitcoin millionaires...
Not financial advice.
I would say enjoy, have fun, because tomorrow you could be...
Yeah, that's true.
It's like that commercial. I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm not a millionaire anymore.
Not financial advice.
Not financial advice.
All right, we're going to end with our clips of the or gaffes of the day, gaffes of the day. We got a couple here for you because after the State of the Union, during these events he went to, he was toast.
Oh my God.
You know, his brain clearly had short circuited in the time that was he was drugged up.
It was a train wreck down that hill, man.
It was a big time drug hangover that he was going through. Let's start on Friday with in Pennsylvania, right? He was in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, he was.
Send me back to Congress. Roll that clip.
Pennsylvania, I have a message for you.
send me to Congress that I can support this right. And I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
And then, of course, we all know the worst day in American history, the biggest attack on our democracy, July 6th.
July 6th.
Roll that clip.
Last night in the U.S. Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th.
I mean, it is a bad day because, you know, it's after Independence Day and everyone's sad.
Well, sure,
you know,
the Brits, I'm sure, that day were attacking.
Yeah, they were probably pissed, yeah.
But the worst day might have been July 6th, 1776, not July 6th, 2021. All right, we got one more here for you. We got a John McCain reference because you know how much we love him.
Yeah.
He's great. Best.
Well, I'm sure Joe Biden loves him now that he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how all Democrats are with Republicans.
Yeah. Well, you know, now he's on this kick of talking about John McCain because he said this in the State of the Union, John McCain saved Obamacare, which we all know that's 100% true. One of the only true things that Joe Biden ever says. Take a listen, though, to how he referred to him. Roll that clip.
Not long ago, my buddy John McCain passed away. My predecessor, friend who went, that's how he ended his career.
His predecessor? Huh. Hmm. I didn't realize that McCain had beat Obama.
Would have been great.
Three times.
Yeah. Would have been great.
Yeah. And then also, he just had another complete brain malfunction. Clearly, the drugs from last week have worn off.
Tremendous amount of things you can cut. Maybe precise. Tremendous amount of things you can do, not cut. He said, I will, but the bottom line is, he's still at it.
Jeez. His fiery speech, total fake.
I mean, yeah. Drug-induced haze is what
yeah,
it was.
You know what it was? Yeah, you know what it was? The same thing as a baseball player using steroids. He was using performance-enhancing drugs. Should not be allowed. There should be drug testing before the debates.
Yes.
I think that Trump should strongly push that. Yeah.
Piss in the cup.
All right. Well, shout out to Gail, our friend Gail down there. And she rightly pointed out about Texas politics because we were talking about Texas politics last episode of the week before. Texas is almost like South Carolina in that there really only was a Republican Party.
Yeah.
And so people who traditionally would have been a Democrat, a.k.a. Nikki Haley, or lots of the people down there, like Dade Phelan, the piece of House Speaker, total rhino neocon trash, they joined the Republicans because it's all the only show in town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we end up with all these rhinos inside the party. And I think that is a really excellent point. Shout out to you, Gail. Of course, Gail, one of our OG Trigger fans. We appreciate you. We love you. Shout out to Brian. Brian emailed us about TikTok, and I did want to talk about TikTok one second here before we wrap up the show. So today, the bill to ban TikTok passed the House of Representatives. Now, everybody knows I am a very anti-TikTok person. You know, one of the reasons that Town Hall and its sites do not have TikToks is because of me. That being said, I'm not sure that this bill is the best thing for the country for a number of reasons. I'm not sure that it's going to pass the Senate, but it very well might. But what it essentially does is it gives the government, aka the executive branch and the president, whoever the president may be, the power to not just either shut down TikTok or force TikTok to sell to an American partner, which is in the end actually what I think will happen. But it essentially gives the president the power to shut down any website or app they deem to be a national security threat. Now, if we lived in a society where our presidents could be trusted to wield such a power and only use it against actual threats of national security, sure,
but that's not the reasonable. Case. Not the case.
But as we've seen in the past, if they want to do something and abuse the law, they're going to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
And now, essentially, as the way this bill is written, theoretically, Joe Biden could say, you know what? Town Hall is a national security threat. Yeah. They are ginning up outrage against me and against our government.
They're a threat to democracy. So
and they should be shut down.
Yep. It's what they did with Parler.
Yes.
It's exactly what they did with Parler.
Yep.
So,
You know, I again, I would love to see TikTok banned from the United States because not only is it just CCP trash, but it's really actively poisoning and rotting the minds of the next generation of this country. I am concerned a little bit about the bill. I will give you that. Rand Paul has pointed out some really good things about it. Elon Musk has pointed out some good things about it. Obviously, he has his own self-interest there with the tech company.
And the people on our side who are for it have really, I think, have gone off the reservation. I mean, you have Tom Cotton saying that, like, to sit down with the board members of TikTok on this is, like, akin to talking to Hamas or something like that. I saw a statement that I'm just like, well, that's just not...
It's, you know, it's political rhetoric. It's political rhetoric.
Easy, Tom. Yeah. You were right about the troops in the cities a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because now New York City has National Guardsmen in the subways.
Well, you know, they say that's for crime, but I question that. But.
Well, you see those bag searches?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little counterterrorism type. You know, so I think the TikTok thing, it's a serious issue, and I think it should be addressed. I just wish that the bill to take care of this issue were more tailored and not reliant on, you know, having presidents who aren't going to abuse this power.
And certainly flooding the offices of lawmakers, you know, of all the TikTok users that happened last week surely didn't help.
Oh, that didn't help.
Yeah, sure. You know, people like, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill you. Okay.
Well, they could kill themselves if they want. Yeah,
but I mean, I heard people that were on the fence of the Gallagher bill were like, you know what? Like,
these people, these people are crazy. I'd love to see it gone. Now, our friend Brian said that, and I have not had a chance to independently verify this, but I would not be surprised if this were the case, right? So both Trump and Ramaswamy, obviously, do not like TikTok. Ramaswamy said that he would ban TikTok. But now that there's a bill to get rid of it, they both come out against this bill, which, you know, you could have certain reservations against the bill. Except there's some interesting stuff going on behind the scenes. He says that one of Ramaswamy's biggest donor was a TikTok officer. I'd have to vet that. I'm not sure of that information. We will look into that. And then I also found out that Trump might have been persuaded a little bit by Kellyanne, who apparently, allegedly, is doing a little bit of lobbying on behalf of TikTok, which seems a little out of character for her.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody has a price, money's green. I mean, if TikTok offered to give me $10 million.
I'll be pro TikTok like overnight.
I would gladly give them whatever
it wants. It helps these rural nuns, spread the word of God. You know,
I don't know. TikTok's pretty terrible for the country, but you know, I'd certainly oversee a Chinese sweatshop. Like, that's no problem.
As soon as you turn against TikTok, though, they know where you are and they'll kill you.
Yeah. Like, I get up your productivity, guys. I'll be over there in a second. Yeah, you know, I think it's a complicated issue when it comes to how to legislatively handle this because, you know, as conservatives, we still want the limited government aspect of things. I don't really like the government saying, you know, this specific company has to go. But in this case, I'm not sure that we've really ever had a situation where a hostile foreign powers government state controls essentially one of the largest social media platforms, not just in our country, but in the world, and actively uses it to not just poison our youth, but they could use that to really set off some crazy.
Yeah.
They are controlling what's being seen, what's being promoted, what's being pushed. They run the algorithm. If they wanted to sow civil unrest here in America, they could make it happen in a second. And so, really, if we were able to ever to get into a war with them, it would be used against us as weapon of war. Not like the AR-15, as these crackpot gun grabbers would say. Yeah. So, that's all I have to say about that. Pretty nuanced situation. But, of course, I'd love to see TikTok gone. I hate it. I think it's destroying our country's youth. So we'll see what happens. We'll track it for you. Full coverage at townhall.com of that and everything else going on in the world. I think they're going to vote on it in the Senate maybe tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. In the end, if they do pass that bill, TikTok's going to sell to an American company. There's no way they're going to give up those hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising revenue. There's just simply no way.
No way.
So, all right. That's it for today. We will, of course, be back here next week on Wednesday with another episode. Triggered, I know some of you were hoping for two episodes a week. I promise we're aiming to get back to that later this year as we get towards the election.
Maybe, I don't know.
No, we're going to.
I don't know.
No, you're going to do what I tell you to do. So,
I might. I'll call in.
Oh, yeah. You'd be like Trump. Yeah. Trump doesn't always call in interviews. Yeah. So I know everybody wants more. It's just very, very difficult with the schedule.
Supply and demand. You know, the market's not very good.
We're keeping that demand high through little supply. Yeah.
But buy those calls.
Yeah. Not financial advice. Definitely don't buy calls.
No.
That is a little bit of advice there.
Yeah, that's, unless you have that GameStop stock, you know.
That was like 3 years
ago. I know, 3 years ago.
All right. Of course, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. Don't get to reply to everybody, but I do read every email, I promise you. And if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code SAVEAMERICA for 50% off your membership. Get into this exclusive club of patriots. So many Triggered listeners are, and we love you for it. It really enables not just what we do here on Triggered, but everything we're doing in the Town Hall Media Network, all the great journalism we're doing. We got to keep it up because really, you know, conservative media is the only one that's telling the truth these days. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not state media like the rest of them. So please give us your support. We really appreciate it. And you'll get a ton of extra content. All of Matt's VIP columns, Katie, Spencer, Kurt, Kurt Column, podcast, video. If you're a gold member on PJ Cruiser, Steve Green, Vodka Pundit, I mean, you get so much stuff. I promise you it's worth every single dollar, and it goes all right towards doing the best that we can for you to give you the reporting you want, the election results you want, and making sure things are not being all kinds of up in this country. So we got one last shot. I mean, this is it. So,
yeah.
That's townhallvip.com, promo code SAVEAMERICA. Help us do what we love doing and what you love reading. So don't forget, of course, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. So that way, maybe they'll suggest our podcast when you search it. And again, thank you to all of you who are VIP members. Thank you to all of our listeners. We love you all. And we will be back here next Wednesday, March 20th, for another episode of Triggered. We hope you have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend. Have a few Guinnesses, you know, throw one back, a little corned beef.
Corned beef.
All right, we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.